chapter 5. Boys and girls can be dismissed as we're turning. Mark chapter 5, and the Boys and Girls for Children's Church can be dismissed as we turn to Mark chapter 5. I'd like to read part of this part of the scripture, but we'll read several parts as well. This story is recorded, this particular moment is recorded in three of the Gospels. We're going to kind of go through each one a little bit, but I want to start here in Mark chapter 5 and verse number 1. I'll go ahead and read verses 1 through 8. Here's what the Bible says. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Verse 7, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Verse 8, for he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Now, we've got an interesting week coming up. We're thankful for the month of October leaving, right? Amen. We got rain and mud and all that kind of stuff. November, it's going to get a little cooler. It's going to be deer hunting season for the gun. We're all excited about that, right? Right. But this coming week is a day set aside by the world, not by God, to celebrate spirits, but not the Holy Spirit, not godly spirits. And you know the day I'm talking about, commonly referred to as Halloween. I read a testimony of a man who was a high priest of the Celtic tradition. Celtics are of the tradition of the Druids, and you've read about them over the years, hundreds of years. They were a paganistic worshiping class and committed many heinous things in their worship. But here's a man, he said, as a former high priest in that tradition, also he was part of the Wicca, that would be called Wicca, called witchcraft, said this, the modern holiday we call Halloween has its origins in the full moon closest to November 1st, the witch's new year. It was a time when the spirits or demons were supposed to be at their peak power and revisiting the earth planet. The designated celebration of Halloween is purely and absolutely evil, and there is nothing we ever have or will do that would make it acceptable to the Lord Jesus. And folks, that's as true today as it has ever been. We can buy the costumes of the superheroes. We can dress up as an angel, but it's still a celebratory moment or time that is dedicated to someone other than God. And there's no doubt about that. Can I tell you, this is not the first day, the first week that evil had its day. Not the first time. Thousands of years ago, here was Jesus. He arrived in the country of the Gadarenes, the Bible says. And right away, the first person to meet him after he got off the ship was this man filled with evil spirits. Devils, as other parts of Scripture call him. How did he handle the evil of his day? What did he do? Well, I'd like to share some thoughts with you on that one. How Jesus handles the evil of the day. Let's take a look at that this morning. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. God has a plan for that, for you and me. Not just for this week, but guess what? Every week, amen? Every week. And the Lord wants us to keep that in mind. I trust it'll be encouragement, perhaps a challenge for us as we look at how Jesus handles the evil of the day. Would you bow with me? We'll ask God to help us before we go any further. Lord, I thank you for your grace and your love. Oh, Lord, how we leave the doors open sometimes for things that are opposed to you. And I pray, Lord, this morning, as we look at how Jesus handles that, as how he is the one who can handle that. Lord, I pray we would learn and glean and even implement the plan of the Bible. May you get the glory through things that are said. Perhaps even now, Lord, there's someone listening. Right now, they're trying to fight against our Savior, the Holy Spirit's conviction of their need for Christ. Would you please open their eyes, as the Scripture says, enlighten the mind so that they too can have the true joy, the true peace that comes only through Christ. And Father, as the believer in Christ, would you help us to see how much is too much when we consider living in the world? I pray, Father, you'd help us to, both in a spiritual sense, but a practical sense, follow what you'd have us to do, even with the evil in our day. We thank you for your goodness as your blessing on our time. In Jesus' name, amen. How Jesus handles the evil of the day. Let me share some thoughts with you on this. Number one is this: the condition without Jesus is without hope. The condition without Jesus is without hope. Turn with me, if you would, Matthew chapter 8. We find another account of this particular story. It's a very short one there, but verse 28 starts us off in Matthew chapter 8. Take a look. The condition without Jesus is without hope. Verse 28, and when he was come to the other side in the country of the Gergesenes, or the same as the Gadarenes, same area, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. The Bible tells us, number one, without God in control, there is misery in this life. This man, described in Mark chapter 5, the Bible says there were two of them in Matthew chapter 8, but I believe that the one man that we read about in Mark and Luke later on is the spokesperson. That's the one that the evil spirits use to communicate. But without God in control, there was misery in their life. He met these two possessed men with demons. The supernatural, by the way, finite. Did you know that Satan does not have infinite power? He is defeated. He can be defeated. And by the way, he is defeated. Amen. The blood of Jesus defeated him at the cross and his power over the lost and unsaved. God says he can be defeated. He's not infinite. He's finite. But one of them acted as that representative. His condition is shown here in the Bible. If we look back in the book of Mark, we see a few different things about him. Mark chapter 5, or them, and verse number 1 and 2 says, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Who lives in the tombs? It's like driving by a cemetery and say, how many of those people are dead over there? All of them. The dead. That is their place, their resting place. The Bible says that this man and his companion, whoever they were together, they were both possessed of spirits, and the Bible says this was their home. This place that is to be avoided. We don't like going to the cemetery, do we? I don't enjoy it. It reminds me not of what I'm looking ahead to, but what I have lost. That's what the cemetery does for me. I don't know about you. It's not a place to play. It's not a place to, hold activities. It's a place that I believe should be left sacred. Because guess what? God created these bodies and he expects us to honor them too. That's why we have tombs and cemeteries, so we can bury the dead and have a place of honor for them and a place of memorial, quite honestly. If you drive in through any cemetery, you'll find different memorials on some of those tombstones. Very interesting, some of them. And you might find that they have some very sober information for you. But this is where these guys live. This is where they were every single day. That was their home, the Bible says. Matthew, we read it just a moment ago. Matthew chapter 8 says, this man had no self-control and had no friends. The Bible says he was exceeding fierce so that no man might pass by that way. Not only did they live there, not only was that their home, the Bible says that if you walked by their home, they had their own personal alarm system. They had their own personal security force. Them. You walk in here, buddy, and you're going to get it. You're going to get it. How many remember Brother Ray Martinez last weekend? He was with us. Amen. He said, you know, I let him know, the folks that he lives with and ministers to, if you come to my house causing damage, you're not going to get away with it. Now, he's not possessed of spirits. Let me put it that way. The Holy Spirit, amen. But these guys, they were out and in a violent way lived in the tombs. And the third thing, if you turn to Luke chapter 8, we find a story there as well. Luke chapter 8, Matthew, Mark, and now Luke chapter 8, and also verse number 27. It says, and when he, that is Jesus, went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. Not only did this man have no home and lived among the dead, not only did this man have no self-control and had no friends, but this man had no clothes and he had no dignity. He walked around as if it was no big deal. That's what the evil spirits led him to be. Without God, you see, in control, there's misery in this life. Friend, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Or have you put him off and put him off and put him off? You've heard about him. You've heard about him in this very church. Maybe you've heard about him from other friends or Bible tracts or the internet or TV. And you know he's the real answer, but you've put him off and put him off and put him off. Friend, can I tell you, some of the miseries you're dealing with today are there because you do not know Christ. They are there because you do not know Christ. When you know Jesus, you have a hope for eternity. You know the end of the story and so much more. The Bible shows us that without faith in Jesus, there's no eternal life. This man was controlled by the demons. He was without Christ in his life. Even today, those who have not personally accepted salvation, which Jesus offers, are open to influences that would be similar to what this man dealt with. To believe and do things that you never thought you would do and yet end up in that very way. Satan cannot possess a Christian, by the way. The Bible tells us there's only room for one spirit to be inside of us. Amen? Amen. When you receive Christ as your Savior, here's what happens. The Bible says that Jesus sends the Comforter to you, the Counselor, the Holy Ghost. And he's there with us. Cannot see him. But by faith, we know he's there. Here's what he does. When you obey the Bible, way to go. Good job. He's our biggest cheerleader. When I disobey the Bible, wait a minute. You're going the wrong way. Wait a minute. How many of you ever had to deal with construction on the roads? We're in Michigan, right? Construction. They need more construction, but when you go through it, there's always delays because you have to move over. And some people, that guy in that Corvette, we're all in line and we can see the lines a mile long to get in that one single lane. Where does he go? Boom, all the way up front and tries to sneak in and no one will yield for him. Maybe you're that guy. I don't know. Sooner or later, God says, the Holy Spirit's going to ask you to yield. Yield. Okay, this is where you're going. Would you yield and come my way? Come my way. You've gone so far. You've gone too far. Come my way. Counselor, the Comforter. The Bible says that without Christ, I don't have that Holy Spirit. And therefore, I am open to the influence of other spirits. And there are other spirits in this world. The Bible calls them devils, evil spirits. They are known by many other names, but they simply, quite honestly, and what the Scripture tells us, they serve Satan. And they are constantly opposed to God and Jesus. But yet, something interesting, we're going to see it in just a little bit. But without Christ, we are without that Holy Spirit. You see, the condition The condition before Christ is really hopeless. And this man and his other man were dealing with that when Jesus came to visit that day. The Bible tells us saints have a different type of relationship with Christ. And that happens because, number two, the change after receiving Jesus is dynamic. It's dynamic. Go back to Mark chapter 5, please. Mark chapter 5. Look at verse number 18 again with me, please. Mark chapter 5. Here the Bible says, well, let's read the rest of the story here. I stop in verse number 8. Let me start with verse number 9 while I read down to verse 18. And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, verse 15, and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told him how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. What a dynamic change. Amen. What a change after Christ. He was miserable before that. And problems that he had before. Since he came to Christ, I mean, that day, a lot of them are gone, changed in Christ. You see, only Jesus can rescue us from spiritual darkness. Only Jesus can rescue us from spiritual darkness. He spoke to both the man and the demons, the evil spirits. The demons knew Jesus for who he is. Remember what they called him? They said, "Son of God, Most High." Jesus walked into that area. He was undercover. He was not telling everyone at the time that the kingdom is coming with him. As a matter of fact, he told people, "Do not publish it yet. It is not my hour." And yet when he walked off the boat, the only one that recognized him was a demon-possessed man. Wow. Let me tell you something. Even in the clothes of the flesh, the spirit world knows who Jesus is. The spirit world knows him. Do you? Do you look to him to be rescued from spiritual darkness? You see, God's power is the greatest power. Amen. Luke chapter 8 says he was called the Son of God, Most High. What did Jesus tell him in Mark chapter 5, verse number 8? There's only one command he gave to the legion. Come out. Come out. For years and years, everyone had been trying to stop these guys. Everyone had tried to bind them. But yet all Jesus had to say was, come out. In the Roman legion, there were no fewer than 3,000 men and no more than 6,000. If we take that idea or that particular thought and apply it to this man, as the Bible seems to do so, it would indicate that the number of evil spirits that these men were housing was thousands upon thousands. Remember, they're spirits, they don't need physical volume to take up space. But imagine, not one, not 10, not hundreds, thousands were influencing these men, giving them great strength, giving them an evil outlook. And yet when Jesus came, and they received him as Savior, everything changed. Everything changed. Only Jesus can put us in our right mind. Look back at Luke chapter 8 again, would you please? Luke chapter 8 and verse number 28 and 29. When he saw Jesus, he cried out
and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. The Bible tells us that this man's life was changed. But when he was in his right mind, where was he at? He was sitting. He was at peace by Jesus, comforted, comforted. You see, here's the thought. If you consider what he was without Jesus and then what he was with Jesus. Without Jesus, he was wild, uncontrollable. You know anybody like that? You know anybody like that? Seems like their life is going quicker than anything down the road of destruction. Without Jesus, that's what we can look forward to, an uncontrolled life. With Jesus, he was calm and he was sitting. He was sitting. The Bible says he was not just sitting, but he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. What a place to sit, amen? If Jesus was here, that's where we all should be, right at his feet. Without Jesus, he wore no clothes. Didn't bother him at all. Wasn't apologetic for it. Whatever it was, evil spirits took his very dignity from him. With Jesus, the Bible says he was clothed when he was beside Jesus. Without Jesus, his mind was enslaved by the evil spirits. With Jesus, he was in his right mind, the Bible says. Without Jesus, others feared the demonic power. With Jesus, others feared God's power. This man's very life inspired others to witness of Jesus Christ. You and I, if you know Christ today, friends, be calm and sit at the feet of Christ. Take time to be with him every day, including today. Give a testimony of a changed life. I was saved when I was 6 years old. There's not a lot that you can do from 0 to 6 that's going to put you in prison, I think. I'm sure it's not impossible, but for me, I can't look back and say, well, I stole a whole bunch of stuff. I beat up a bunch of people. I did a bunch of wicked things. I went out to the bars. I didn't do that. But I can still see that I did enough sin and disobedience naturally to God and to my parents that I deserved a hell like everybody else. I deserved it like everybody else. You say, well, you're just a little kid. You don't know everything. Come to my house. Did you know you don't need to teach kids how to do wrong? You can teach them how to do it better, but you don't have to teach them to do wrong. That's natural. That's natural. That's why mom and dad, remember when your kids were small? We're remembering these as we go through our days here. That it seems like the thing we tell these young ones most of the time is no. No, no, don't do that. No, don't go there. No, let this. Don't drop it. No. Because we have to be taught what's right. But it's natural to do wrong. God says, will you live a life of testimony for me? Things are different for you if you know Christ as Savior. They really are. And live that way. Live that way. Christian, when we hear people on TV, when we read things about them on the internet or in books, magazines, how they have all these gripes, let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, that should not be you. You're not that author. You are the servant of the most high and living God. The Bible says, we looked at it this morning in Sunday school, that God's desire is to give you all things. He says, all these things shall be added unto you. If what? If you seek those things which are above. If that's our desire, the Bible says, hey, listen, I'll take care of you. And by the way, he takes care of us better than we deserve. Amen. Trust Christ. This man did, and man did things change. That's the message we need to be sharing regularly on our lips. that there is an answer besides the life that the world would have us believe, that Satan would try to draw us into. No, there's a life that's far better than that, the life with Christ. Then we see a command from Jesus. If you're still in Luke chapter 8, would you look down at verse number 38? Now, the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way, and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. The command from Jesus is urgent. Urgent. The command from Jesus is urgent. The Bible here that says that Jesus told this man, put the Christian life on display at your home. Put it on display at your home. Hey, living for Christ is far better than the way we've been living all these years. Things are better when you know the Savior. Put the Christian life on display at home. One writer put it this way, you are not living a Christian life if you are not living a Christian life in your home. Right at home, in the house. The kids know whether it's happening. We all know whether it's happening in our home. Does that mean that we won't make mistakes? We won't sin anymore? No, I'm afraid that we do. And by the way, to live the Christian life after sin is what? Confession and forgiveness. That's what the Christian does. Because God says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God says there's a way to live the Christian life at any given time. When we're on the mountain with the Lord, when we're down in the valleys, on our own it seems, Jesus is always with us and we can live for him. And God says, start at home. Isn't it interesting that Jesus told this man, whose home was in the cemetery, he said, go back to your house. This man had not lived in the tombs all his life. This man had family back home that were concerned about him. Maybe a wife. Maybe children. Certainly parents. Do you have a family member that you're concerned about? You're living amongst the tombs? Living a life that is on the fast track to destruction? Can I tell you something? Don't give up prayer on them. Don't give up prayer on them. I've used my dad as an example so much, you're probably sick of it. But I'm going to tell you one more time. As a young man, when I really decided I'm going to do something for God, I'm going to live for him, I was about 11 years old, followed the Lord in believer's baptism the same year, got called to ministry that same year. I got saved and younger, but I look back at that year and see it as a pivotal time for me. At that same time is when my dad got in his accident. He had been drunk and passed out, and another man was killed, and it started his career in prison. And we went to visit him. I was watching the news the other night, and there was some young man that was sentenced there. I don't know why it was on the news. I didn't catch the whole story, to the very same prison in Draper, Utah, where my dad was. And I looked at the outside, and I thought, I remember those doors. And I hated being there. I love my dad, but I hated that. But more importantly than my dad getting out of prison, I knew was that he received Christ as his Savior. Amen. So I began to pray seriously. I'm not talking about once in a while when somebody mentions it in a message. I'm talking about every day I prayed. And when we moved away, I prayed that God would send somebody, give them the message. 5 years passed. 10 years passed. 20 years passed. Now I got my wife praying for him too, man alive. 25, almost 30 years passed before I got the call and my dad said, you know, I think I know Christ today. And he told me the story. He had put his faith, he'd call on the Lord Jesus while he was in prison still. Not the same one, it was a different one. And he wanted to do what was right for God. And you know, at the expense of the rest of his family, his brother and sister and all those, they never understood it and some of them turned their back on him. He never, to his dying day, Stop inviting them to Jesus too. That's his testimony. You know, it's not a bad thing to pray for your loved ones who need grace, because God can save them. Whether it's you that lead them or maybe somebody else. Did you know that you're not the only Christian in the world? How many knew that? You know you're not the only one who'd like to see your loved one get saved? How many knew that? Yeah, or friend, co-worker, etc. But I'm convinced prayer's got to be part of the equation. And as the Lord leads an opportunity, bring Jesus up in the conversation. This man had a family, and Jesus knew it. He said, go back home to your family and tell them about me. But something interesting, he put the Christian life on display at home, but he also put the Christian life on display everywhere else he went. Look at what it says, verse 39. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Mark chapter 5 and verse number 20, here's what it says. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Did he wait till he got home? No, he didn't. He said, wow, look at what's happened. It can happen for you. Jesus is the reason. He's the answer. Would you turn to me or turn to him? Oh, what an amazing thing. Decapolis literally means the city of 10, Deca, and then 10 cities together made up this area called Decapolis. It was south of the Galilee, Sea of Galilee, east of the Jordan River. In Mark chapter 5, it tells us that he could not wait before he got home. He had to tell somebody about the miraculous change. You know, Christ's power is greater than any evil day we have on the calendar. No day on our calendar can overcome our Savior. He's the greatest. He can save the lost, and he can revive the saved. Now here's the question. Do you believe that? God tells us that in the Bible, but do you believe that? When those hundreds of people, now if you live in town, it's going to be that way. Hundreds, thousands come to the door. Do you believe that Jesus can save them? Do you believe that they need to hear about Christ? Instead of walk away and just hopefully get a bigger bag of goodies, will you consider telling them? Somehow, some way. Telling them. Letting them know. I'm not out here to make you have a good and fun night. I'm out here to tell you about Jesus. I'm out here to let you know. Some folks, they want to spend some time alone, and that's fine too. There's nothing wrong with having time with prayer. Time focusing on the Lord, and I would encourage that. We're going to talk a little bit more about that tonight. I trust you'll join us. We'll have some thoughts about some research that we'll pack in about 15, 20 minutes on where all this started and why it can be a good day for the Lord if we give it over to Him. And I ask you this question, are you handling the evil of the day the way Jesus did? You handle it the way Jesus did. You know, God has a plan for you and me. He's got the power to overcome anything that would stand in His way. But we've got to get on His train. We've got to get on His side. Would you consider that as we do? And if you need Christ as your Savior, friend, don't put it off. People have been praying for you for a long time. People that you may not even know. Would you help answer their prayer by finally submitting to Christ and receiving Him as Savior? Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your love and grace. I thank You, Lord, that we can look around and we can see answers to prayer in this very room. We can see testimonies of dynamics that the Holy Spirit has been doing in lives. And yet, Lord, we've not arrived. As the Apostle Paul said, I've not quite finished. I'm not quite finished, but I want to finish well. Lord, would You help us to even grow if we knew Christ today? Help us to get closer to our Savior. Be willing to publish Him throughout all the land. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're able, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Would you stand with me for a moment? With heads bowed and eyes closed, perhaps God's burdened you about a need. It needs to be brought to Him, or this simple idea that We just need to give our life to Christ amidst all that life can bring. Jesus is the one who can bring the peace. Jesus is the one who can settle it down for us, but we've got to come to Him. Come to Him for salvation. Come to Him for that Spirit filling that God is desirous to do through you. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your goodness to us. And I ask You now, Lord, would You please guide us and direct us? Use this time of invitation, Father, to help us in our walk or start one if we need it. In Jesus' name, amen.